It's the GD, Mike Novak Show with Peggy Malecki. Green, gardening, and environment radio, flavored with a dash of humor. Welcome to intelligent, irreverent talk about plants and the planet they grow on. And here they are, Peggy Malecki and Mike Novak.
Good planets are hard to find. Temperate zones and tropic climes. And true currents and thriving seas. Wind blowing through breathing trees. Strong ozone and safe sunshine. Well, good planets are hard to find. Good planets are in the main.
Welcome to the GD Mike Novak Show. Kind of a serious conversation today. We have Carrie Gillum on the phone, veteran journalist, researcher, author. We interviewed her last year about her book, Whitewash, The Story of a Weed Killer, Cancer, and the Corruption of Science. She is a journalist, former senior correspondent for Reuters International News Service, a member of both the Society of Environmental Journalists and North American Agricultural Journalists, and research director for the consumer group U.S. Right to Know. Welcoming back to the show, Carrie Gillum. Good morning, Carrie.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
It is a pleasure to have you again. And the reason Carrie's here is because I saw a headline last week. And I'm sure a lot of people saw the headline because the headline was everywhere.
The verdict heard around the world.
Basically. And it was a jury judgment against Monsanto and its weed killer Roundup. Chief ingredient is glyphosate, Roundup, you should know, is there's many formulations of Roundup, but generally the chief active ingredient is glyphosate. And so I guess we start there, Carrie. That made huge news. The judgment was $289 million, and that was pretty much a stunning decision, wasn't it?
It really was. I mean, for Monsanto, for its new owner, Bayer, you know, Bayer, the German company, just bought Monsanto in June, and shares of Bayer plummeted after this, and they continue to be down because shareholders are so taken aback and so concerned about this. And Monsanto is very worried about it because, of course, this is only one case, you know, one man, one plaintiff, and there are 4,000 others sitting out there who have already filed lawsuits as well. So if you multiply this verdict by 4,000 plaintiffs, you know, which of course isn't the way it would play out, but it's still a very damning first blow against Monsanto.
And there's so many, boy, there's so many different directions we could go here. The first I will say is I'm sure, well, we know that Monsanto is going to appeal. And if you look at history of decisions like this and awards like this, they're often smacked down, reduced greatly, sometimes thrown out. Is this something that's likely to stand up, or is there just no way to know that?
Well, of course, you know, you can't know. This is going to be up to a judge and possibly many different judges as it goes through appeals. And Monsanto is seeking to have the verdict thrown out. The situation, though, is, I mean, during the trial, Monsanto made many objections, asked for quite a bit of evidence to be withheld, to not be allowed in for the jury to hear. Mm-hmm. And the judge pretty much sided with Monsanto in every single situation. So it's not clear that the company has very much to appeal. You know, the rulings pretty much all went their way, except, of course, the jury verdict. So what they've been arguing, in essence, is that the plaintiff's attorney was just really mean to them and really painted them in a bad light. They're not really contesting the facts. They're saying that the facts were not presented in a good way, and that the jury was just overly emotional and didn't really look at the science.
Well,
what Monsanto's position is.
Yeah, well, I was doing some research on this, and one of the I went to Snopes to see, and they've written on this several times, and as they point out quite accurately, you know, a jury trial is not always about the science. It's about how do you convince. Well, you know, I for a long time I've done legal conferences, been involved in legal conferences. And one of the great sayings from legal conferences or from the law world is best story wins. And that's a case anywhere you go in jurisprudence. So obviously the prosecutors told a great story here. You wrote that Monsanto, and you did a piece in The Guardian last week, I've got the link to that at mikenovak.net. You can go to my blog and find that. You wrote that Monsanto was undone by the words of its own scientists, the damning truth illuminated through the company's emails, internal strategy reports, and other communications. The jury's verdict found that not only that Monsanto's Roundup and related glyphosate-based brands presented a substantial danger to people using them, but there was clear and convincing evidence that Monsanto's officials acted with malice or oppression in failing to adequately warn of the risks. This is something you've been saying for a long time, however. You said it in your book. So to have the jury come out and back up what you've said in the past, you must find gratifying. But obviously, there's still a long way to go, and I do want to get into the notion of the science and anti-science and all of that, because you're smack in the middle of that. But tell us how Monsanto was undone by its own words.
Yeah, and that's a good point to bring out. I feel like if this had only been science, if they had only looked at each side's science, it might have been a harder call, because it is very difficult. You know, there are stacks of scientific papers on one side and stacks on another. Now, many favoring Monsanto have been funded by Monsanto or written by Monsanto. Mm-hmm. The independent science largely shows ties to cancer, while the industry science does not. But it's not even a close call when you start looking at Monsanto's own internal emails, because, as I said, these are Monsanto's own words, and they show the company very deliberately for decades working to suppress the evidence of harm and risk, not to explore it, not to discuss and say, gosh, I wonder if we should, you know, look at this deeper. I wonder if we should warn customers about what people are finding. I wonder if we should be concerned. They're not saying that. They're saying, how do we cover this up? How do we harass scientists? How do we suppress science? How do we ghostwrite scientific literature? I mean, if their product really is so very safe as they claim, why would they have to engage in such deceptive practices for so long to prop it up? That's a big question. And I think that's what resonated with the jurors.
Mm-hmm. And what kinds of things were they saying? I assume you followed the trial very closely.
Right, yeah. And of course, much of the evidence that was laid out in court is laid out in my book. Mm-hmm. Because what you see is you see Monsanto ghostwriting different papers that appear in scientific literature that declare glyphosate or Roundup to be very safe. You see that though they appear to be written by independent scientists, in fact, you see in the documents where Monsanto was writing them and drafting them and editing them. You see Monsanto working to figure out how to try to discredit independent scientists, putting out strategy plans, employing third parties so that it won't look like Monsanto's involved in the harassment. They want it to look like it's coming from other people. And they lay all this out internally. You know, they have plans to discredit others that they talk about internally. And when you put that all out there, it really paints a picture of a very deceptive company.
And folks should know, everybody knows Roundup pretty much. I mean, if somebody did a poll about name recognition, I got a feeling it'd be right up there. It's the most heavily used agricultural chemical in the history of the world. And part of the reason is because it works. All right. And I have friends who do ecological restoration. And this is in their toolkit. Mm-hmm. And they have told me that without glyphosate or, kind of glyphosate they use, whatever the specific product name, they're out of business and their job becomes 10 times harder. How do you address those people, Carrie?
Yeah. Well, It's a really good point, and it's really unfortunate because you're right. I mean, glyphosate and the weed killers, Roundup, Ranger Pro, others, were and are quite a bit safer, at least on an acute level, than many other herbicides that were out there or have been used. And it was very, very effective. It's less effective now in areas where it's been overused. There's a lot of weed resistance. But it was a great tool. But sadly, what's happened is it's been overused, you know, because Monsanto promoted it so much for every single use and because of the weed resistance, because of genetically engineered crops. You've just seen, as you said, volumes increase from about 123 million pounds in the 90s globally to close to 2 billion pounds a year now used globally.
Wow.
And when you overuse something like that and you hide the risks and you aren't warning people, you wind up with a lot of human health damage and environmental damage. And that's what we've seen. And I think if we would have had better stewardship and would have used this in a more restrictive fashion, perhaps, we wouldn't see all the problems that we're seeing now. So, you know, solutions need to be discussed and resolved. I don't know that banning it is the right way to go. I think that people need to sit down with policymakers and figure out a way to protect human health and the environment, but maybe still have some of the efficacy that can be garnered from this chemical, if possible.
Let me pose a question here. Let's say the groundskeeper, Dwayne Lee Johnson, let's say the defendant wasn't, I'm sorry, not the defendant, the defendant was Monsanto, but the plaintiff was a gardener who had used Roundup to, I don't know, on some, what's the weed, poison ivy. Okay, because poison ivy is really tough to get rid of, and maybe they'd done that, and then hasn't been exposed to it, hasn't had the stuff fly in his face for years. Do you think the outcome would have been different?
You know, it depends. I don't know. What gardener maybe isn't wearing a lot of protective gear, right?
Right.
And we do know now from the science and the evidence that's come out how easily it's absorbed through the skin and how the design is really meant for it to penetrate that type of dermal layer and how it can get into your body. And if you're someone who is particularly vulnerable or has some other sort of things going on with your health, we saw that it can act as a promoter. We know that it can, through the science that's been done, that it does DNA damage to people exposed to it. So, you know, it's like smoking. It's not every person who's exposed is going to get cancer, but it interacts in ways in your body and with your cell structure that, you know, you very well could be that person who gets cancer if you're exposed in this way. And of course, it would depend on how much you were using and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I think the real problem is that people have been told it's so safe, they don't take the safety precautions that they would otherwise. I see people spraying it all the time. They're not wearing gloves. They're not wearing a mask. You know, their kids are falling along behind them, you know, rolling around in the grass right at where they're spraying.
Yeah.
It's just irresponsible.
Well, and there's collateral damage from that, too. I mean, and we're finding that out with now the new Roundup Ready dicamba products out there, and that is drift. One of our friends of the show, Casey Tomato, who grows tomatoes in the Kansas City area, says that the drift from some of these products can go for miles. In effect, tomato plants certainly for miles, and you wouldn't even know where the source was. But people get careless; they do it on windy days. Well, and the point I've made on this show many times is that the problem with I see with a lot of pesticides is not the pesticide itself, but the consumer, because the consumer will not read and follow label directions. And that's a problem, because then, as you say, they're getting exposed in the ways that they shouldn't. Their kids are getting exposed. Their pets are getting exposed because they're not paying attention. If we could get everybody in the best of all possible worlds, in a perfect world, everybody reads and follows label directions. Everybody does it right. Nobody overuses a product. And then perhaps everything works out. That's not the world we live in, as you know.
Right. And this dicamba situation, you know, that's another litigation problem. There are 37 lawsuits right now with 181 plaintiffs. suing Monsanto because of the dicamba drift. And again, I mean, this is sort of an example of what happened with glyphosate. Scientists warned decades ago that unchecked, unrestricted use of glyphosate was going to lead to a whole variety of problems. And Monsanto essentially told the regulators, don't worry about that. Don't listen to them. Same thing with dicamba. Scientists warned, this stuff drifts. You cannot use it during summer months. It's going to drift for miles, and it's going to kill all of these vegetable crops and other people's crops that aren't genetically engineered. And Monsanto, again, said, regulators, don't listen to them. You know, listen to us. Mm-hmm. And, well, lo and behold,
here we
it's
are.
Come to pass that it's exactly what other scientists have predicted would happen has happened. Mm-hmm. And it's really unfortunate because all of this, you know, could have been prevented maybe or limited, certainly, if we just would have paid more attention to independent scientists to begin with.
What's interesting right now is there is conflict among farmers now about the dicamba-ready products that I'm not sure there was when it was glyphosate. Now, some of these farmers are saying, you know, we don't want to get on board with this, but our crops are being affected by my neighbor, and these battles are happening now that I don't remember happening. And maybe they did with glyphosate, and I just don't remember. We've got Carrie Gillum on the phone, and one of the things that happened in the wake of this decision, the jury decision to award $289 million to a man who claimed that Monsanto's Roundup pesticide gave him cancer. Now we're seeing that glyphosate is being found in breakfast cereals, but except that you know, that came out. I saw the CBS thing yesterday. I was watching TV and it came out on CBS. But Peggy, as you and I talked, that's not new news. That's been out for a mm-hmm. while.
There's some new testing, but this isn't the first time. 2016, Food Democracy Now! Was reporting on that.
Yeah. So do you want to comment on that a little bit, Carrie?
Well, yeah. I mean, I reported this in 2016, not only Food Democracy Now!, but what I reported in 2016 mm-hmm. was that our own FDA, our Food and Drug Administration, found glyphosate in a lot of baby food oatmeal. Now, the FDA hasn't publicly reported that. I had to get that from their own internal documents through Freedom of Information reports. But yeah, it's not new. It's in my book. It's not oats. It's only it's bread. It's flour. It's we use it in vineyards, right. So it's found in wine. It is, as I make the case in the book, it's pervasive now in our food supply as well as in our water. And it's found in our own bodies in human urine. So this from EWG and that came out in CBS News, this is just one more sampling, one more testing regimen that shows it in our foods.
Well, and we had discussed with you last year in your book about how right before they harvest the oat crops that they spray the plants, and that's to help them die and dry out sooner.
Yeah, this is something that Monsanto has a lovely little glossy black brochure that they give to farmers to encourage them. Even if you don't have genetically engineered crops, there are certain things like wheat and barley and oats that Monsanto recommends you spray them shortly before harvest. The plants will then die. The grain is already mature, and it allows the farmers to go ahead and harvest, you know, faster in a more consistent way across their fields. And many farmers have done that, and that's where you see these really high residues in finished products. As I said, oatmeal, really considered to be healthy, but you're getting probably a dose of weed killer in your own.
Mm-hmm. I'm waiting for that. Okay, you know what's going to happen now? Quaker oat stock is going to go down, all right? I look at that and I think, you know what, it's given the ubiquitous nature of glyphosate and how much of it is used, mm-hmm. What would be stunning if we did not find it in our food all over the place. That would be amazing.
Right.
The fact that we have, you have to sort of nod and say, yeah, I kind of expected that to happen. Yeah,
figured that would happen.
Yeah, and the thing you talk about, the spraying of the crops, not the GMOs, but to dry them and mm-hmm. to cure them.
The one-time application.
It that sort of flies under the radar. I think a lot of people aren't aware of that, Carrie.
Yeah. I mean, it's not common knowledge, right? But farmers know about it. Now, some grain handling companies have become very concerned about the practice and are starting to put in their contracts with farmers that they won't take their grain if they desiccate it with glyphosate before, mm-hmm. Because they're aware of the high residue issue. So there is some pushback from grain handling companies and food companies who want the farmers to stop doing this.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a practice that people are looking at and scrutinizing now in the farm.
Now, we could go on for days talking about this, but one thing what we really need to touch on here, Carrie, is the war that's going on between camps. I likened it on my blog to the Maginot Line, where everybody's hunkered down in their trench and hurling insults at the other side. The side that favors use of glyphosate says you don't really have the science to say that it's harmful, that it's junk science. It's even when you've got the World Health Organization, they say, oh, that report was flawed in so many ways. And then the folks on the other side say you're killing us here with these chemicals. And as we've already mentioned on this show, if we could find a way for everybody in the world to use little tiny amounts, it might actually do some good. But that's not the way the world works. And so now you've gotten in the crossfire on this. I read a story that recently that you posted about how you are taking hits and your integrity is being mm-hmm. impugned. You're being trolled. What's that like, Carrie?
Yeah, I mean, very, very definitely so. It rises and falls after the verdict. It ramped up again. Obviously, when my book came out, it's ramped up. It's unsettling. People get onto my Facebook page and try to pull pictures and then change those into memes, with nasty words and things. They call me names, they try to undermine my credibility, just all sorts of things. But they do this to anyone who really speaks out and raises questions about the products. And this is, again, part of what we saw in Monsanto's internal documents, is that they plan this. This is a strategy, and it's a brilliant one, and they do it all over the world.
You're saying the strategy is to attack the people who attack them?
Yes.
That's a Donald Trump thing too,
So like the Deniers for Hire website.
Deniers for Hire, right? They set this up. And again, I don't know that anybody's attacking them. I don't feel like I'm attacking Monsanto. I feel like I'm trying to lay out a lot of different points and facts, and then people can take those facts. Like I've never said there should be a ban on glyphosate herbicides. I don't know that there should be. I think there's been extreme overuse. And these unprecedented levels have undercut the effectiveness, and done damage to human health and the mm-hmm. environment. I think that the facts back that up, and that people need to pay attention to that and come up with better policies to address the situation. I don't know why that's controversial. I think we should all care about, better policies to protect public health and the environment while still protecting, effective tools for farming.
Do you think
the process that we're engaged?
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I was going to say the process that we've been engaged in for 20 years, basically just handing over the keys to Monsanto, to the regulatory authority, that isn't working for us over the long run. It's not going to work. And the sooner we wake up and realize that, the better.
Well, what I wrote on my website was that the 800-pound gorilla in the room is the 800-pound gorilla, meaning Monsanto, which steamrolls its way across the farmlands of the planet, proclaiming that its mission is to feed the world and that the only way to do it is through the use of chemicals, the GMO products, the lack of transparency, and bullying tactics. Now, this is stuff you've written about before, and if you dare get in their way, the question I was going to ask you, if you said to somebody who's on the other side, would you agree with me that we use too much glyphosate on this planet? They would probably say, no, I don't agree with you on that. And I agree with you, Carrie, we use too much of it. You wouldn't create super weeds if you were using it properly. Wouldn't be in all of our cereal.
It shouldn't be leaving residues in our foods. I mean, we have illegally high levels that are being found that our FDA is not telling us about. We have internal documents I've written about where they find it at illegally high levels in corn, and you can see them talking about how they're not going to consider that an official sample, so they're not going to have to report it. And these illegally high levels aren't even, we don't even have time to get into the mm-hmm. levels that are set. But Monsanto's pushed our regulators to allow more and more and more into our foods, and to allow what is considered legal levels to get moved higher and higher. And it's just time that we take a breath, take mm-hmm. a beat, and say, we've lost our sense of balance. This is out of control use. It's affecting our health. It's affecting the environment. And we need to do something about it. And people in Europe are taking a look at that. People in South America and other countries. It seems only in the United States that our regulators and our lawmakers, you know, are just firmly, you know, on the side of Monsanto and the chemical industry, so much so that they won't even consider the science that is out there that shows us these risks.
And that's actually what I was just going to ask you about. You wrote in your SierraClub.org article this past week talking about the federal judge in Brazil ruling new products could not be registered in the country, things happening in Italy, things happening in France. Do you think other countries, other areas of the world are going to take and run with this and drive the future of glyphosate, or what do you think is going to happen?
Well, you certainly see other countries already taking action, right? And in Europe, you know, they only granted glyphosate a 5-year right. relicensing last year.
Last
and that
year,
was in
yeah.
a very narrow decision. There were a number of countries that wanted it banned completely. So I think Europe is going to be the first to act on this, really, in a very demonstrative way. And it's going to be a long battle, I suppose. We'll have to see where the mm-hmm. EPA comes out on this. I mean, they could do things. They could be more restrictive with glyphosate and probably, you know, help sustain the effectiveness of it. But they don't seem to be there yet. I think this jury verdict is still being digested, though,
yeah.
by
yeah.
a lot of different people for a lot of different reasons.
And then the next trial is coming up in October, and that's a similar case?
Very similar, allegations, you know, that Monsanto has hidden the risks. That it can cause cancer. There are several more slated for 2019. There were motions just filed this past week for a case in Montana, another mm-hmm. gentleman who is dying, not expected to live very long, so the attorneys are trying to get his case expedited. You know, they're really trying to get as much out as they can, and the plaintiff's attorneys have said, you haven't even seen but the tip of the iceberg in terms of the evidence that comes out from Monsanto.
Yeah,
the evidence of deceptive tactics.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, if folks want to know more about this, I'd suggest they pick up the book Whitewash, The Story of a Weed Killer, Cancer, and the Corruption of Science. And it's more more important than ever now that this is happening and things are going to change and move forward. Who knows how, mm-hmm. how this is going to all shake out. But as you said, Bayer stock has gone down 18% in the last couple of weeks, which is stunning, actually. And that shows you how important this product is to that company and to Monsanto, which is owned by Bayer. Thanks to Carrie Gillum for being on the GD Mike Novak Show with Peggy Malecki.
That's me.
And you are?
Green.
Green. You are a diva.
Mm-hmm. And you are a
Devo. I-R. Devo. Are I not green? No, that's not how it works, is it? Whatever. All right, until next time, go green or...
go home.
Stadler?
Yeah, what?
Is that it?
Yes, it's over. How'd you like it?
I don't know. I slept through the whole thing.
Well, you didn't miss much.